Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross. Hello, today we're joined by DogFit trainer Manda Crofts. Manda actually joined us very recently as a DogFit trainer, and she started running Canicross sessions along with her dog Arlo, who we're going to hear about more in a second. But Manda's also a personal trainer, but she's a perimenopause specialist coach as well. And she's been, for the last 8 years or so, she's been empowering women to feel fitter, stronger, healthier, and more energized, which is obviously really important and why we want to talk about it today. And Canicross plays a very important part in that too. Manda's been helping women ditch those yo-yo diets, basically, and thrive through menopause with a personalized online coaching that she runs. And so we're very happy to say that today Manda's here with us, and she's going to share some of this knowledge with you all, and maybe explain a bit about why exercise, you know, not necessarily just Canicross, but that is obviously key too, plays such an important part. So first of all, I want to just say welcome, Manda. It's so lovely to have you along today.
Hi, nice to see you. Thanks. Really pleased and excited to be here. A little bit sweaty and nervous, but that's okay.
Don't be nervous. We're really friendly. We're really delighted to have you on the show. And I know that there's people listening out there that are going to be really keen to hear what you've got to say. But just as firstly, as an introduction to yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into the sport and your training, and obviously about your dog.
Yeah, so Arlo is 19 months now. I'm still counting in months. And very much a puppy still, feels like. Full of energy, very clever, absolutely gorgeous, in my biased opinion. And honestly, from being tiny, he absolutely loved running. And I'm sure that's how a lot of dogs are. But me and Nick used to take him to a field, and Nick would run off, and then I'd release him and he would like sprint. He's so fast. And yeah. I didn't know of Canicross back then. So I was like, oh, we'll get into agility because then he'll be doing his sprinting and stuff. And then I don't know how I came. I think one of my clients actually mentioned Canicross to me, started Googling it, found DogFit. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is our thing. This is what we need to do. And yeah, he loved it straight away. And he gets into like work zone once he's running. And if I stop, he gets mad at me. And he's like, no, we're going. So yeah, I love the bonding with it and doing the instructions and just seeing him. He really likes like smaller technical trails.
And what breed is he? I can't.
Oh, a working cocker.
The working cocker. Yeah, they love Canicross. And you've obviously you're a PT as well, but you've obviously done this specialist training.
Yeah, so I originally 8 years ago started running fitness classes. That's how I got into everything. Then I don't know, you just progress through your career, don't you? So I was personal trainer, postnatal specialist, and then online trainer because of COVID. And then into perimenopause, actually gone into perimenopause early myself, and I was already supporting women of that age. So that's how I've ended up then doing more qualifications, so I can support them the best way through that time, and myself as well.
You're going to be a mountain of knowledge. What's it delving in?
And it's been like the last 8 years you've been doing that?
Yeah, so started everything 8 years ago, started with fitness classes, and then it's all just progressed and gone from there, really. Online training is what I do now, but then I wanted something to do in the community again, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And then DogFit, I found DogFit, and I was like, that's it. That's me and Arlo sorted for work.
Boxes now. Yeah. And obviously, we're going to talk about perimenopause and the menopause, because you've obviously helped a lot of women through that. And I think, you know, it's
up until recently, it's been quite a taboo. And even now, it's still not easy or comfortable for some people to talk about. And I think what we want to do today is reassure people that, A, they're not alone, and B, that it's not an awful thing to have to go through. You can, there are, you know, there are lifestyle changes that could be positively made, and you're not alone. And I think you've got some obviously great experiences to share with us today. And we are going to talk about some examples, but I think let's just get started with sort of some of the definitions as well, because we talk a lot about perimenopause these days, as well as menopause. So for those that don't know, understand it fully, would you mind just explaining the differences between those two terms?
Yeah, definitely. So perimenopause is a big chunk of it, and when a lot of the symptoms start to happen and progress. So that's why that's spoken about a lot. But if we just skip forward a little bit to menopause, as we head towards menopause, the levels of hormones that are produced by our ovaries, they are starting to change. So estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. But we won't go too deep into it, but there's a lot of hormonal changes and fluctuations. When we reach menopause, that's actually one day in time when you've not had periods for one whole year. Mm-hmm. And everything running up to that, like perimenopause is the time running up to that when these changes start to happen. And, you know, it can be a gradual change and it can last. Perimenopause can last 7 to 10 years for some people. Then you'll get to the menopause point, and then anything beyond the menopause day is post-menopause. So gradually the hormones are declining, but it's not a nice smooth line. Yeah. Estrogen can have some real severe fluctuations over that time.
Yeah. And I guess everybody's different, aren't they? And it depends on whether you've had children or not had children. And, you know, I've obviously heard people that say they had no symptoms at all. And then you get people that obviously go through a bit more of a terrible time. But how would you know that you're sort of heading into that perimenopause stage? Are there signs that kind of are that you're heading in?
Yeah. So like you said, that was exactly right. It is so unique to everyone. So just like your periods will be unique for you, that's what your menopause will be as well. And like you say, for some people, they might not feel any different. Some people, it might be like really life-changing with how much they're feeling and how hard it is. And then there's going to be people in between that as well. So there is a huge list of symptoms, and I'm going to read some off, but I don't want it to feel like, oh my God, all of that is going to happen to me, because it might, none of it might not happen to you. And for some people, you might get more of them, but it's about knowing what's normal for you and then starting to recognize it. And I think that's the good thing about having the awareness, because we can put this stuff down to so much stuff rather than being hormones, because we've not had the information shared as much as it is now. So some of the symptoms can be brain fog, things like constipation, reduced sleep quality. So you might find that you're getting up in the night for a wee. You might find that you're just waking up in the night and you don't know why. You might have a racing heart in the night. So reduced sleep quality because of various things like hot flushes, hot sweats, or just waking up. It can be things like headaches, migraines increasing. It can be heart palpitations, just lack of interest in life, in things that were just something you're really interested in, and that kind of fades. It can be things like dry eyes, joint pain, vaginal dryness, uncomfortable sex, low sex drive. Like that's just a part of the list, and it sounds scary, and we only hear the scary stuff and sometimes the negative stuff. But the thing is, we're on here today because there's loads that you can do to help those symptoms. Right. And you might have one, you might have three. It's going to be unique to you.
Is it best to, shall we talk through some of those symptoms? I was just thinking, you know, if say somebody identifies with one or more of those that you've just listed, what do they do? What's the next thing, you know, rather than just sort of like going, okay, this could well be perimenopause or menopause, but, you know, but they'd obviously you don't want to be feeling that way. So what are the things they can do in practical terms to address it?
Yeah, that's it. So I think the best thing is if you start to feel things that are different, and, you know, you might look at this list and be like, oh yeah, I've had that actually, I've had that. Start writing it down in real time when you're feeling it. Mm-hmm. Keep a symptom log, because to be honest, for the first part of starting to feel these things, the best thing you can do is write it down in real time, because we can go through life and be like, well, last week I felt, sorry, I swear a lot and I just stopped myself. Last week I felt I can't exactly remember what was up. Like, that's how we can feel when we're trying to log backwards. So writing down in real time, if like your heart is pounding more or you're noticing something in your body that's different for you, and keep a log of these symptoms, because you might not have something every day, but you'll get a list over the month. Mm-hmm. I went into the doctors with a notes in my phone about as long as my leg by the time I saw a specialist. But obviously, as a lifestyle coach, I support with the lifestyle side of stuff, and we're going to go into that. But there's also the medical side of things and going to talk to your GP. So there's been a lot of misinformation in the past about the risks of HRT. It's changed a lot now. It's body identical. It was misinformation that was shared years ago. So the best thing to do, even if you're thinking, I don't think I want to go down that medical route, I don't want to replace those hormones, that's okay. But get all the information from the GP on your risk and on whether they think that it is related to that, because you never know, it could be something else as well. So if you're going into the GP armed with this huge list, they might offer you a blood test, but actually menopause can't be tested for. No blood test can accurately tell you where you're at, but they might still do that anyway, because it's still rolled up, it's still done by some GPs. But it should go on your symptoms. And if you go armed with your medical history, your family history ready to go, and your symptoms, then they should be able to help you on whether they think you're there. And the first step that they might say is, let's look at your lifestyle. What can we tweak there before we look at the HRT route?
Yeah.
It might be that they're like, you're definitely there. Here's what we can try. But obviously that's for the medical side of things. But I think it's important to share that it was misinformation. And for some people, HRT could be life-changing.
There's different types, aren't there? You can have patches and you can have, so I understand.
I have the gel, which you rub into your arm. So it's like transdermal, I think they call it. There's a patch where you can stick it on your bum or somewhere else, on your bum cheek. And there's a spray as well. And then the progesterone is separate. And was it in the old days? Back when that misinformation came out, it was about a combined oral pill. So it's changed very much of how it's actually produced as well.
Yeah. Well, you just mentioned just in when you were speaking about obviously the HRT and how there was a bit of lots of misinformation, and you mentioned it's now, did you say body identical?
Yeah.
I mean,
the way it's produced, and because I'm not a scientist, I don't exactly know how to explain it.
I just thought, oh, what does that, I'm sure our listeners will go, what does body identical mean?
From what I've read, I think, I don't want to say something wrong, but I think horse urine might have been involved in the very olden days with producing it, and now it's from plants. And it's body identical to our I am worried that I'm going to be wording that wrong. So.
Don't worry, you don't need to go into depth. It's just, and there are lots of obviously positive things, as you said, now around HRT, but that's really good advice in that the first stage is obviously to write down what's happening to you every day and how you're feeling. And then, of course, go and consult your GP. I mean, the whole subject matter is talked about so much more these days, which is really nice. And obviously, just for people who have been a bit more empathy and understanding what you're going through. Is there anything you can do to sort of help your partner or, you know, your colleagues around you? You don't want to keep moaning about this, that and the other, but what's the best way of kind of helping people to help support you, I guess?
Yeah, I think honestly, moaning is good. I think talking about it as much as possible is the best thing, because that's what's not been done for years, is that we've kept it in and we've kept it quiet. And there are lots of, like, I don't know whether scheme is the right word, I've made a note of a couple of things that I thought we could share the link to. There's a few websites like the Menopause Charity and this NHS Inform, which have some workplace ideas. And yeah, there are, I'm not saying the right word with schemes, but there are some things that companies...
Well, there's initiatives out there, isn't there?
Yeah, that's it, sorry.
Employers are being supported to help and support their employees, so...
Yeah, pledge. Yeah. Pledge is what I was trying to say. There are some pledges that, yeah. that employees can join, employers can join, so that they are pledging to be open and listen about menopause and talk to employees about it, which is amazing that this stuff is all coming out. And if it's not already at your workplace, I think be the one to do the pushing for it. And right. if that doesn't work, if there's not anybody supportive, create your own network with the women that are in there and support each other. And I think with partners, I think anything you learn, tell them, because they've probably heard even less than what you have. Potentially, they've heard less than what you yeah. have. And just talking about it with anyone that will listen. Is what I do.
That's good. More that people talk, more awareness is out there, more people see that it's just very normal. It's not anything, you know, to be
that's it. It's normalizing about. It. And yeah. when we okay. hold things in, we can, you know, the shame can build, but there's no shame in reaching this point in time. It's inevitable for us all with working over it that we're all gonna get there.
Yeah. So obviously we've talked about the medical sort of side, going to your GP. There's obviously lots of lifestyle elements that we can address. And there'll be a lot of people that are interested in that because they might not just want to go down that route, or they might prefer to just focus on the lifestyle changes. So I know that you have a lot of experience in looking at people's diet and also the exercise side. So they're two fundamentals really, aren't they? So I don't know, it'd be good to talk about both of those. I don't know if you want to start with nutrition and then we talk about exercise, but you know, when someone comes to you for some coaching, you're obviously looking at a number of factors, aren't you? Once you've identified the symptoms and you know maybe they've consulted their GP, but what do you look at, for example, when you're looking at, when you're thinking about their diet and giving advice there?
Yeah, so I guess with my coaching it's going to be unique for everyone, but in general terms with nutrition, it's the same whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s or beyond, at how we want to be thriving with our nutrition. So I'll be making sure that people are regularly eating, because a lot of people that come to me have come from restrictive diet backgrounds where you may be pushing through and starving yourself and surviving on cup of soups. And it's just not what, you know, we need fuel. We need to nourish our bodies. So for me, regular eating is really important. On the nutrition side of things, we want like two fruit or veg with every meal so that we're getting those nutrients in that way. So, you know, fruit's a nice one to have with maybe some oats in the morning and a high protein yogurt. And yeah, so high protein all the way through the day with those meals as well, for numerous reasons that we can go into. But high fruit and veg, doing some fiber swaps. So swapping for whole grains, whole meals is really good for our longevity and health. Getting high protein in, because we're going to talk about muscle mass and in the exercise part in a minute, but we need to maintain our muscle mass as we get older, and refueling with enough protein is vital for that. But also protein helps you feel more full and satisfied throughout the day. It really helps with reducing snacking. So, you know, if weight loss is something you're wanting to work on, it can be really handy there. Same, sorry if I'm talking really fast.
That's all right. No, we're listening.
I feel like I'm getting faster and faster. Slow me down. So if you're filling your plate with fruit, with veggies as well, it's more high volume, it's more satiating. You're going to feel, again, more full and satisfied through the day, as well as getting those vital nutrients that we really need at this stage of life. Like, it's just even more important to focus on this stuff. And it can be really, it can be a much harder time for some people to focus on it as well. So trying not to be perfect, but just putting some small changes in place. Like, I think the first change for me would be increasing the veggies in your meals across your day and getting those nutrients in, and then starting to think about your protein more. And usually breakfast, it can be one where protein's lacking a little bit, so it might be something as simple as adding in a protein shake mid-morning to help with that kind of thing. And always thinking, I don't need to be perfect, I just need to, like, progress not perfection is my thing with all my clients. Starting small and making some changes over time is a much better way to do it. Do you think, is there, you got any questions on the food?
I think obviously on the nutrition side, and obviously from from sport and canny crossing, you know, obviously making sure you're eating well to be able to do those. It'd be interesting to hear about how sport can make a difference, or being out, being active. Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, huge difference. It's honestly incredible to be exercising at this time. And again, like, as I start talking about it, don't feel like you have to be doing everything straight away, but start to build in things bit by bit and have a think about what you're going to enjoy most. But exercise is incredible at any stage of life, for our physical, mental well-being, for our longevity, for how independent we are as we age, and how much we can, you know, do for ourselves and move around for ourselves. But specifically to perimenopause, over the age of 30, as women, as females, we start losing muscle mass and bone density. And the bone density and the muscle mass decline more as we get into perimenopause and those hormone changes. But the decline isn't inevitable, because muscles and bones react to lifestyle and activity. So, you know, even if for some reason you can't go on HRT or you don't want to go down that route, because it's a very personal choice, there is loads that you can do. With muscle, with bones, it's use it or lose it, which you may have heard before. But it doesn't have to be that you're at the gym lifting like the heaviest weights if that's not what you're into. There's always things, stepping stones to gradually increase over time. So women that are active do have more muscle mass during this time, perimenopause, postmenopause, compared to sedentary women. But if you're not doing anything right now, doing a little something will be incredible to start. So it could be that you start walking. It could be that you start, if you're already walking a bit, going further, going a bit faster and getting your heart rate up. Could be doing canicross, obviously, if you love being in the outdoors. It could be stuff like starting with swimming and getting on a bike. But we want that impact for bone health. So that's why running and walking is incredible there. And with the strength side of stuff, we want to be lifting weights and redoing resistance training. But if you're somebody that's never lifted a weight and you're not doing any strength training at the minute, then doing some bodyweight exercises is a great way to get into that. And then you could add in a dumbbell a bit later on. And just thinking, again, progress, not perfection. We want to lift weights, we want to build strength, we want to train our heart, because the cardiovascular disease risk goes up with perimenopause because of all the changes, but exercise brings that risk down. So it counterbalances it out. Yeah. And then obviously the refueling is going to be incredible to, you know, help you get through that exercise and build that strength and build that fitness as well. And with the mental health side of things as well, there's nothing better than being in nature. So if you can get out for the walk and that is your exercise, that's amazing. If you can get out in nature, move your body and have a dog with you, like, all of the mental health benefits there are huge.
ticking all those boxes. And I know it. Personally, I mean, you know, because I run regularly, a canicross regularly with a group of friends, of, you know, that are all going through it. And we've had countless conversations where you'd be running and chatting and maybe talking about symptoms, and then somebody else, you know, because we're all chatting about the whole subject together, you feel supported, I'm not alone, plus you're out running with your dog, it, you know, you come back and it has, you know, your mental health, the fact that you're not going mad because these things are happening to you, it's just a great support around you.
Yeah, the social side is huge, isn't it? And just to, yeah, like you say, feeling like you're not alone with it is massive. And I just did want to touch on like sleep hygiene and stress management, because they're huge at this time whilst we're on the lifestyle side of things. Obviously, sleep can be affected for some, and we can't help that happening if we're waking up in the night because of hot flushes, hot sweats. But the more we can have a sleep routine to get off deeper straight away, rather than laying there and thinking about all this stuff that's going around in your head and worrying about not sleeping, the more you can set a sleep routine to have you drifting off really well, the better, deeper sleep you're going to get. Even if stuff's going to wake you up in the night, it's better to get off well. So looking at things like not having caffeine too late, being real with yourself that, you know, alcohol doesn't help you sleep well. It just helps you nod off. But it does disturb sleep. It is not good for deep sleep. No. But having a routine of like maybe going upstairs, putting on a mindful breathing app and coaching some calming breathing. It might be doing some deep breaths as you do your skincare before you get into bed. And then it might be for you brain dumping all of the things that are going around in your head, because we're so busy at this time of life as well. There's so much going on. We're caring for other people, work's stressful. There's always numerous things going around in our head. So doing a brain dump at night and just getting those out, even if it's your to-do list, can be a really nice way to get in a routine, dump it out, do some breathing, nice cool room, have a fan on, have some spare pillowcases in case you do wake up with the sweats. And if you do wake up in the night, having this breathing count in your head, so breathing in for 4, holding for 7, holding the breath, and then breathing it out really slowly for 8 seconds, is a really nice one to get back to sleep. So that's really important. And the last thing, if we've got time, just for the last, because it's really important.
Absolutely, they're all really great really tips. I'm thinking about the sleeping one already. I've got to remember that.
Can I hold my breath for 7 seconds?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, at the start, you might need to reduce those numbers because you're like,
being more stressful.
So obviously. On the mental health side of things and the stress management, getting out and do exercise is going to be amazing. Doing any exercise is going to be amazing for instantly lifting your mood, for helping with stress and anxious feelings and all of that. But having a little go-to stress management thing in the day is really good to have. So for me, when I'm in the car, I will often zone out with thoughts, but I'll notice and then I'll squeeze the steering wheel and I'll start taking slow deep breaths. So wherever I'm driving to, and I'll drift in and out because that's just normal.
Yeah.
But having some time where you can breathe nice and slowly, get a lot of my ladies to do it while the kettle's boiling. So instead of flicking the kettle on and rushing around doing something, stay with it, watch it, listen to it, because it's really mindful to hear it, see it bubble. Take nice, long, slow breaths and just have that moment to calm your system. Because, I mean, like me now, my heart is like, because we're doing this. And before I came on, I had a little focus head rub thing and I was sniffing my wrists with it on and taking deep breaths. It just calms your system, and it's so good for you to do throughout the day to
regulate. It's a good idea. I'm normally one of those people. I put the kettle on, think, oh, I've got 5 minutes for me. Can I get a cup of tea? And I'm normally rushing, and then, you know, just make the meeting on time. So I don't normally sort of stand around and think. And when I do think about the breathing, you don't realize that you do it. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, slowing down, just listening to you. I'm like, gosh, I need to do all of those things.
Yeah. But anyway, good tips. And so, there's some good practical tips. So in terms of your actual coaching that you do for women, how have you used, so you've given us loads of examples. So can you share any real life examples of how they've helped, like a before and after type thing?
Yeah.
To demonstrate how effective it really is.
Yeah. So, I mean, we pretty much always focus on the basics that, like I've mentioned, with the food and the exercise. But it is tailored to each client because everybody's unique and everybody's going to be feeling different things, especially when perimenopause comes in as well. And the symptoms are going to be different for everyone. So it will be dialing in on what they need, what's going to be good for them, because somebody might not be stressed one little bit, but not doing any exercise. So for them, obviously, that's where we'd focus first.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes along because I check in with them every week. They can message me anytime. So whatever comes up, we deal with it and we tweak things and we go along the way. But I've got some words from some clients because, I mean, I'll start with, I don't know if I'm saying names or not. Okay, we'll say
A. Don't say
This is A.
This is A.
Miss A. So Ms. A came to me and had just actually started on HRT, and her words were, my muscles feel like jelly. She wanted to feel stronger, fitter, and more toned. So she was, you know, already going through menopause when she joined, when she was on HRT, and then she was like, now I want to work on my body and feel as strong as possible. And her wins when moving up, because she came for coaching, now she's in my workout only group. So her wins were being in her size 10 clothes. She was really pleased with how toned and strong she felt. She increased weights over that time. She said that she was at the goal weight that she set years ago at Weight Watchers, but she never, I don't think she ever got there on Weight Watchers because it felt so miserable, but she got there with me without feeling like she was even on a diet. She says she felt stronger and fitter than she has for years, had a better relationship with food and exercise, and she had an annual diabetic review, and it was the best it's ever been. And she still had chocolates and carbs because it was all about balance and nourishing a body and including things in moderation. So for client A, it was very much the exercise, the mindful eating, and the nutrition side of things. And I've got some amazing, I like to read clients' words because it's always better when they say it, the way that they say it. So this is from client two.
Club B.
That's their name. So being perimenopausal, we often hear about how difficult it is to lose weight, but with Manda's support, I've managed to change my lifestyle for the better, losing and keeping off 3 stone. Going from someone who really walked anywhere or exercised, I'm now addicted to the buzz that I get from it. In the past, I've experienced low mood and anxiety and needed medication, but my new habits keep that all at bay now. I feel better than I ever have about my body and feel strong and fit with more energy. Wonderful. And again, yeah, there was a lot of the stress management with this client, as well as the exercise, the balance with the food, and you know, all of the stuff that we've been talking about, really.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. I mean, we'll put lots of links in the show notes as well, so people will be able to contact you. Just one question is, like, obviously you've got you're helping women going through the perimenopause, menopause. When people get out the other side, do you just go back to how are you, or how does that happen, or do you know you've gone through the other side? You know, are you back to where you were before you went through the menopause?
No, you're kind of like, your hormones might be up here. Then they're like, oh, this won't be good for the podcast. I'll re-explain in a second. Then they might go like this, but they're reduced. Obviously, if we have HRT, then that's different because we're topping those up and putting those back into the body. But for some women, again, it's unique in that some women might feel better once they go through the menopause day of not having periods anymore. Some people, the symptoms can carry on. So it's still doing all of this lifestyle stuff that helps you feel good forever. There is no, I'll do this till then and then I'll stop, because then whatever was before will come back.
Positive lifestyle decisions and, you know, actions anyway, aren't they? Because it's not just not going through the perimenopause or the menopause. Just thinking about your diet and exercise is a good thing anyway, just to feel, like you say, balanced and not have dips in the day and just be able to sustain, you know, a healthy lifestyle and mindset. And so it's good practice anyway, isn't it?
That's it. And it's, you know, it's not like doing this stuff is being on a really restrictive diet where you're like, I can't wait to get to the end of it. All of this stuff will help you feel, nearly swore again, absolutely incredible. But the best thing is to start small, not feel like I need to do cardio, I need to do weights, I need to change my whole diet. Pick one thing where you think that will really benefit me right now.
Like Canny Cross.
Let it build. Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got target needs walking.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And have you got any examples of people that have you started them maybe on a Canny Cross journey as their first steps to feeling better?
I have got 2 people that I've never worked with at the weekend, so they're going to be new to me. Everybody else that I've had, they're either already clients or I know them. So I've not, you know, I'm just getting into it with new people for it. So not yet, but I'm really excited to have that side of it where I'm actually face to face with people again. And I always talk about this stuff with everybody. So
The thing as well, Manda, if you get anybody who doesn't normally exercise to start an exercise routine, and obviously you build up gradually, it's finding something that they're going to stick with. And we know as a, you know, that most majority of our clients will, they love Candy Cross. It's not exercise. Yeah. It's not like having to drag yourself to the gym.
So
you know, you're out with your dog and you're with, and Janetta mentioned earlier, you're out with, hopefully, you know, with a group of friends, like-minded people. And it is very different. I think that's where Candy Cross differentiates from other sports, because there is that social side as well, and being with your dog and the bond you have with your dog. And I think that is quite important. And if you're trying to get somebody to start exercising, it's a lovely way to do it, isn't it? And I'm sure you'll see that from the ladies at the weekend, and you know, with clients going forward, you know, it's another option for them, isn't it? And you've already got something they're going to enjoy. They already enjoy being out with their dog. It's just getting them to, you know, start moving a bit quicker, basically.
Yeah, that's it. And enjoyment for me with exercise, it needs to start with enjoyment, otherwise you won't stick to it. Like, if you're forcing yourself to do something that feels bah, like, you're not going to want to carry on. But you know, you're going to be laughing, smiling with your dog, with the group of people. It is very different. Doing something like that is instant joy, because you want to go back and you forget about the exercise bit of it.
I think we often get this feedback from Canny Cross, is that, you know, people that, you know, maybe think that they can't run, that's the first thing, I'm not a runner, I can't do Canny Cross. And obviously when you start out, most of it is walking and a little bit of running, and you build up. But most people are so concentrated on their dogs and what a nice time their dogs are having, they actually forget that they're actually doing a bit of exercise themselves. And then it's wonderful to see that whole sort of journey with clients. And all of a sudden they're running, the dog's running, and they've ticked all those boxes in one hit. So it's lovely.
Amazing.
Out of interest, Manda, how soon after, when people start adapting, you know, their lifestyle and make these changes, how soon do they start to see positive improvements in terms of, you know, those symptoms that they've been citing?
I think again, it's going to be unique for everyone, but I think with the exercise side of things, the instant, like, that you finish your workout, you're absolutely buzzing. And you get those endorphins, you get those happy moods, and it carries on for the rest of the day, having that energy and having that mood lifted. And I think with the food side of things, again, how that affects your focus, your energy, your mood, I think that's pretty instant as well. Like, if you have a week of changing some habits, it makes a huge difference. And I think, again, with the symptoms, it will be unique for everyone, but you get pretty instant good feels from tweaking lifestyle habits, I think, like, pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
By starting small, not going too hard, trying to do everything, burn yourself out, and then beating yourself up because you don't do it.
That's probably the most important thing to start doing. Someone's listening to this podcast, so they're thinking, right, I identify with some of those symptoms that Manda's been reading out. What's the best thing they can do, first of all?
I think have a think about what you're feeling. So if it was that you're struggling with sleep, if you don't address that first, it's going to be really hard to address anything else. I think sleep is such a huge one, making sure you're having enough hours for you. If you're getting woke up in the night, is there anything you can change in the bedroom, like making it cooler, having some spare pajamas or pillowcases if there's sweats and things? Starting that routine for the bedtime routine, because that will feel amazing, getting off a little bit earlier and calming the system, because there's stress management in there as well with the breathing. So if you're struggling with sleep, I would start with sleep, because you can have it where, I have clients sometimes where they're like, oh, I'm really, really tired, so I just need to go harder on myself and do more today. I'm like, no, you need to go to bed. So I think, like, thinking about what, from what you've heard, sparks your interest. Because again, if you're keen to do something, then do it whilst you've got that motivation to do it.
And small steps as well. That's what you're saying, isn't it? So
yeah. So if you think, my nutrition could be better, and I think I would feel better if I changed that, then maybe start a bit of a food diary in your phone or on paper, like writing down what you're having to eat, because it can be surprising actually what we have when we're not, because we're very on autopilot with eating. That's totally normal. So with the food side of things, it could be, right, for 3 days, I'm going to write down everything I have. And then you can look at what you've got and you could be like, well, there's not much fruit in there, so maybe I'll tweak that for the next week. Yeah. And then the next week, maybe do a bit of a tester again. Oh, I could have more vegetables in there. I'm not having any protein at breakfast. And I think that's a really nice way to start looking at what you actually need, a bit more personalised.
Is there anything else you wanted to share? I've
spoken a lot, haven't I? I
Making sure we haven't missed anything you wanted to raise.
Yeah, so I think just to say, we often only see negative, scary stuff. And it can be so hard for some people, but there is so much that we can do. And I really like to see this phase of life as an exciting opportunity to set new goals and smash them, yeah. Like go on different adventures, think about the ways of your lifestyle. And it's an exciting time to tweak those and help yourself feel your absolute best at this time. It might be a time to meet new people that are going through this at the same time and be in that new supportive network, like with Canicross and things. So you don't have to like suffer through menopause. It's not that it's like this time that we can't help and then there's no life left. Like, it's an amazing time to tweak things, feel your best. And there is support out there. If anyone ever wants to reach out to me and be like, I'm doing this, how do I start this? I feel like this. I'll always message back and help. So yeah, try and reframe it as a positive time to really start doing stuff to feel your absolute best.
Yeah, that's brilliant. No, that's absolutely great. And we will put all the links in the bottom. This has been so valuable, and I'm sure lots of people will learn loads like we have. And I'm going off to make a cup of coffee now and stay with the kettle.
Mindfulness.
Love it.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for
having
really
interesting.
Me.
Thanks so much, Amanda. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canicross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy Canicrossing.